Okay. Well, if anybody wants to move the chair over there, I'll just turn around every now and again. As
Well, there's a timer on this as well. Right, okay then. If you want to turn to Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 to 6, we're going to be looking at that, and we're carrying on with everything that God has said this morning. So if you fall asleep, then it doesn't really matter because God's already said it, but I'll just emphasize it and underline it from Jeremiah chapter 18. God is good, isn't he? The way that he just like carries on with things. And it's a carrying on of what God's been saying over the last few weeks, and in particular last week about the blessing of God. Remember Dave talking about God's blessing and Adrian talking about God's blessing and his desire to bless. And then Karen shared this morning about not only has he conquered the grave, but he conquers the grave. And this is like a really powerful message. And I was going to share these scriptures last week as we're talking about blessing. I thought, no, hang on, Mike, you need to spend a little bit more time in this because some of this is really for me. But so often when things are for us, they can be for other people as well, can't they? And especially when you're the leader of the church. And so like I was there, and I know you don't all teach and preach on a Sunday morning, but I would recommend that you do it anyway, because the blessing I get the most is when I'm rehearsing my sermons in my bedroom. When I'm up there and I'm preaching, I'm amazing. Yeah, I am really, you should, honestly, there's tears flowing, there's the Spirit of God there. So this is always a disappointment to me when I get here. I kind of think, so, you know, whatever you get, just times it by 10, think, wow, that must have been great in Mike's bedroom. So, but I would encourage you, even if you're not going to preach a sermon in your bedroom, get a verse and begin to preach it, because it happens in here. Yeah. Yeah, the person who gets the most is the preacher, and I get the most of it. And I always remember Richard Wurmbrand, who was tortured for Christ over many years, and he spent years inside a prison. And one of his testimonies is that how did he survive that period of isolation is he preached sermons. So who were you preaching to? You're on your own in solitary confinement for 9 years or whatever it was, but that did his soul good. So I just encourage you to, it doesn't matter, and because nobody's listening, it doesn't matter, does it, if you make mistakes or you preach heresy. Not that I ever do anything like that. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1 to 6. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. If that's not a word for now for me, I don't know what is. Mm-hmm. And if it's not a word for now for somebody else, I don't know what is. And the first thing that God says to Jeremiah is go down. Go down. Leave your routines, leave your comforts, leave your habits. And Jeremiah was an amazing prophet. I mean, he's one of my favorite prophets. And he was such an obedient prophet, but he had his routines, his prayer times. And God says, go down. Are you in a place where you're allowing God to interrupt your routines, your lives, your dreams, your ways of being, your habits, your quiet times, your prayer times? Are you in a place where God can say to you, are we prepared to leave even those most comfortable places and habits and things that we've got used to in our lives? And what's interesting is when God says go down, it's not even the prophetic word. He says go down in order to get my prophetic word. So the first thing is to be obedient, to go down. So God says go down. And then God says this, he says, go down to the potter's house, which sounds lovely. It sounds like Cedar Farm Gallery, doesn't it? You go along and there's some like nice new agey music playing and you're walking in and there's like somebody pottering away at the wheel and they might let you have a little bit of a go. And it sounds lovely, doesn't it? It sounds absolutely beautiful. And God does speak to us through the ordinary things. So sometimes God has said to me, Mike, you need to go on a retreat. And I've not been that obedient recently, so this is a bit of a telling off for me. And you need to ask me, Mike, have you been on a retreat yet? Because I need to do that. And where he often sends me is the end of Southport Pier. I don't know why, but I've been there more than once. And so what I've done in the past is got the bus from Bickerstaff, which is once every blue moon, and travelled to Southport and read my Bible on the way and get there. And I get to the end of Southport Pier and bang, that's when God speaks to me. And suddenly, He talks to me about his love. He talks to me about the church. He talks to me about the future. He talks about all kinds of things because I've got to the place where God has called me to get to. And yes, he could say that in my bedroom when I'm doing my normal quiet times. And often he does speak to me then, and that's brilliant. But sometimes we have to go down to where God has called us to go down to. But interestingly for Jeremiah, the potter's house was not Cedar Farm Gallery, because the potter's house was on the slopes of the valley of Ben Hinnom. As we read in other parts of Jeremiah 19, verse 2 and chapter 7, and we look in Isaiah 30, the valley of Ben Hinnom is where they worshipped Molech, is where they had pagan worship. The Israelites had turned to the pagan worship of Molech, where there was child sacrifice. It became renamed as the Valley of Slaughter. And Ben Hinnom then became translated from Hinnom into Gen Hinnom, which then became Gehenna, which in the New Testament is hell. And so God is saying to Jeremiah, I want you to go to the potter's house at the slopes of hell, to the place where you don't want to go to, and that's where I'm going to speak to you. And if it was me, I'd be saying, I'm okay, God. I'm all right where I am. I'm fine. But Jeremiah, as I say, one of my heroes, he did whatever God told him to do. And if you read the rest of Jeremiah, there were some things that I would have drawn the line at. And Jeremiah did it because he was obedient to God. And he goes down. And sometimes God calls us to go way beyond our comfort zone, to go to places that we don't want to go to places of loss, to places of pain, of sacrifice, of dying leaves, of trees in drought, to places of heartache. And God says, go down to the potter's house. And then Jeremiah goes down to the potter's house. And he says, and there I will give you my message. So Jeremiah goes down. He says, I went down to the potter's house and I saw him working at the wheel. Even at the slopes of hell, God is working at the wheel. Even in our places of pain and loss and difficulty and upset and doubt, as Dave was talking about last week, and disappointment and struggle, God is working at the wheel. God is, he doesn't stop working at the wheel to shape the clay, to work us into that being of beauty and of blessing. All the time he's working.
Praise God.
But clay needs to be moldable. I was thinking about clay, and I know it's so obvious this, but clay needs to be moldable, to be work. We need to be in the hands of the potter for it to be molded and shaped and squeezed. And we don't always like squeezing, do we? There's nice squeezes and there's not so nice squeezes. Sometimes there's those moments in our life where we feel like, I don't want to be squeezed anymore, Lord. And he's just molding us and he's shaping us and he's forming us by all that squeezing. And we have to be in his hands for that to happen. And if we're not in his hands, we know what happens to clay. It goes hard. It becomes hardened. It becomes fired clay you can't work with. You just have to break it down again and crumble it up, and the process starts again. So if we choose not to be in the hand of the potter, if I choose not to do what God is calling me to do, if I choose not to bring myself before the Holy Spirit, then I am going to become hardened to him. And I know that because when my children in my classrooms use clay and they don't tidy it up quite as much as they should do, and then the cleaner comes along and says, I can't get this clay off this carpet. It's as hard as clay. and it just sets. And you become fixed in your ways and set you, God can't work with me. No. God can't use me. God can't do anything with me. And we get into a place of disappointment. But really, it's because we're not in the place of his hands. So God says, go down to the potter's place. And there he was looking at God working on the wheel. And we need the Holy Spirit to be just flooding over us. As Mark was saying just a few weeks ago about lying down in that river, the river of the Spirit of God, just, Lord, I'm going to do nothing here. I'm going to let you do everything. And that's hard, isn't it, for a control freak like me? Go, Lord God, what are you going to do in my life? And then this bit, which I believe is the word that God is bringing to us. And I went down, I saw him working the wheel. But in verse 4 it says, but the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. And that's where I got a bit emotional then. The shop, the clay was marred. The pot he was shaping was marred. It's an interesting word, marred, isn't it? Marred in his hands. And I felt that God was saying that sometimes for us as believers, some things happen and have happened, and people listening to this, either on the podcast or here in Mark's beautiful garden, maybe things are happening that have stopped us in our tracks. That have stopped us in our tracks. And we've become marred. And another word for marred could be hurt or upset or spoilt or impaired or damaged. Something's happened in our life. Maybe that's something that we've done and we feel a sense of guilt or shame about that, and it's distanced ourselves from God. Maybe it's something that somebody's done to us. Maybe it's circumstances beyond our control. But whatever it is, those things that we kind of thought were going to happen in our lives haven't happened. And things are, we feel marred. I don't know, maybe some people here thinking, I don't know what you're talking about, Mike, my life's been amazing. But for some people, you know what it means to feel marred for whatever reason. Maybe things not working out the way that you imagined or believed that they would. Maybe the trees are shedding their leaves out of season. And you're not sure if there's going to ever come any more leaves or any more flowers or any more fruit. And then we read the next bit, because I love the Bible, don't you? And then there's always a next bit in the Bible. And the next bit is this. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. And what I felt God was saying was this: no matter how marred we might feel, God does not stop working. Just repeating what Dave said last week, God does not stop working and shaping and forming us into a new blessing, to be a new blessing, to be a pot, a vessel that carries the powerful might of God with us. Where's all my notes gone then? I'm standing on them, look at that. And what's beautiful about this bit is that the pots that God is shaping is shaped according to his design. How he saw best. Formed in the way that he felt was best. And I live my life forming my life in the way that I think God thinks is best. And there's a difference between the way I think that God thinks is best and the way that God thinks is best. And sometimes God has to break me down and shape me and remold me. Sometimes he has to use those things that have marred me as part of the new pot that he's then shaping. And those things that have been spoilt and that have hurt us and that have upset us, that have crushed us, that have disappointed us, become part of that new blessing. But it becomes a deeper blessing, a new level of blessing, a pot and a vessel that can carry more of the Spirit of God to more of God's kingdom and more of this earth, because we have a new level of understanding, a new place where we have experienced the marring and the upsetting and the graves and the loss, and it becomes part of that pot that God is forming. And so for me to finish with, I want to say this for everybody listening right now, wherever you are, God has not stopped working.
Amen.
In fact, God is doing a deep work in some of you, and it may feel like you're a million miles away from him. It may feel like you're a million miles away from the vision you had for your life in God. It may feel like the ministries have collapsed. It may feel like everything that you once were, you're now disappointed with where you are right now. But God is doing a deep work in you. And how many of us can say that after a period of time of distance, we look back and say, God was working and I did not know it at the time. That's what he's doing right now. God is forming us as a church. He's working at the wheel. He's working at the wheel. In the potter's hands, we are becoming something more. And we are going to be not only receive all that blessing that he's got for us and our families and our children, but a blessing to others. I'm excited about the blessing that God has got for OCF. The blessing that's going to be through OCF. And a blessing for each individual in OCF and associated with us. If we can take ourselves down to the potter's house, if we can determine this week, if I can determine this week that I'm going to go down, I'm going to be interrupted by God, I'm going to go down to the potter's house, wherever that is, however uncomfortable it might be. It might be lovely. I'm not saying it'll be uncomfortable. It might be a lovely place. It might be Cedar Farm Gallery. I don't know. But wherever God is calling you to, he says, and there I will give you a message. And the message he gave Jeremiah, if you read later on, is to nations. But God is wanting to say this morning, I want to bring a blessing into your life. And it may not look like it, but I am working at the wheel. Amen. To bring a deeper blessing than you've known before. Let's pray. Mighty God, I want to thank you that you, your heart is one of blessing. I thank you that you don't stop working. I thank you, Lord God, wherever we are, we cannot run away from you. We cannot distance ourselves from you so far that you can't work with us, Lord. Yes, there is choice in this, Lord God. And this morning, we can either choose to sit on the shelf and become hardened, or we can choose to put ourselves into the potter's hand. And Lord, this morning, I'm going to pray for those who want to pray with me. Lord, put me into your hands. Amen. Lord, put me into the potter's hands. Lord, I bring before you those things that are marred in my life. I bring before you those things, Lord God, that have caused upset or caused doubt or caused struggle. I put myself into your hands, Lord God. Only you can shape and remold me into a pot that is best formed in your eyes, that is best formed by your design, by your heart. We let go of our designs. We let go of our struggles. We let go of our ways of doing things. Interrupt us, Lord. Mold us, Lord. Work on us, Lord. We want to be a blessing for others. In Jesus' name, amen.